Here comes Santa Claus. Come Santa Claus, man. Listen, listen, it made it. Pulling on the rain.
If you guys were getting paid, you'd be fired. And who do those hats belong to? Wow. All right, we're gonna look at 51 places in the Bible tonight. So hang on, follow on, do the best you can. Let's pray. Father, help me to do what I'm supposed to do and tell the truth. And Father, help these men and women, boys and girls that are here tonight to do what they're supposed to do and love the truth, receive the truth. Help us to lift up and magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen. John 14:6. John 14, verse number 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth.
Amen.
And the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 17, verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth.
Amen.
John 8, verse 44. John chapter 8, verse number 44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Revelation 21. Revelation chapter 21. And verse number 8. But the fearful, Revelation 21:8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Okay, here we go. Jesus Christ is the truth.
Amen.
The Word of God is the truth.
Amen.
Satan is the father of all lies.
Amen.
And those that teach, love, promote, follow lies end up in the lake of fire. Now, why would anybody who claims to be a Christian teach their children a lie instead of the truth, teach their children a lie in addition to the truth, do anything at all to get their children excited about a lie when they could devote that same energy to getting their children excited about the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ? My lifelong war with Santa Claus has nothing to do with Santa Claus. It has everything to do with my jealousy for the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why are you taking your child's love, devotion, enthusiasm, excitement, trust, faith, and teaching them to put it in a lie instead of teaching them to put it in the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. This world, they're all excited, they're all thrilled, they're all looking forward with joy to the coming of a lie that never comes.
Right.
Instead of looking forward to that same excitement and anticipation to the coming Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen in on a conversation between two mature adults who in almost all other situations are perfectly rational. Hello, Aunt Bertha. Hi. We just want to let you know that we aren't going to allow the children to have gifts from Santa Claus this year. There's a long, confused silence. Then Aunt Bertha, in dismay, as though a loved one had been killed, says, why not? What do you mean? You haven't told the children that, you know. Yes, Auntie, we told them there's no Santa Claus. Another gaping silence. Then in an anguished voice, Aunt Bertha says, oh, the poor children, that's so cruel. How could you do a thing like that to the little darlings? Well, actually, the kids weren't bothered at all. I think they were glad to know that we were being honest with them. Why did you have to spoil their Christmas? Aunt Bertha, we just didn't want to lie to them. And that's when you begin to see the bombs explode. And the veneer of loving, kind, sweet disappear. And all of a sudden, Aunt Bertha shouts indignantly, "Oh, I guess you're calling me a liar." Well, just because you take the matter as a personal attack on the integrity and character of the relatives doesn't change the fact of the matter. If there's no Santa Claus and you say there is, you're lying. That makes you a liar. Sorry that we're related by birth, but truth's truth and fact's fact. We're not going to lie to our children. No, Auntie, we just want them to grow up to love and believe in the Lord Jesus, not some counterfeit. Aunt Bertha then sneers, "Well, you believed in Santa and you turned out all right. Or at least I thought you did." Look, that's how it goes. Now let me ask you something. If Aunt Bertha had been slipping your teenage kids booze for years, and then she got saved, would she keep giving them booze because she'd always done it? If she'd been giving them pot and got saved, would she keep giving them pot because she'd always done it? Come on, if you've been lying for years and now you've come to know the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have to keep lying just because you've always done it. Straighten up. Live right. You know, I could see you getting angry if we said Allah and you thought there might be some chance out there was an Allah. Or if we said no, you know, no Valhalla, and you held some secret hope that maybe somewhere out there was a ninth heaven or the rest. But you know there's no Santa Claus. You know you're lying. You've always known you're lying. Why do you insist on loving and clinging to and promoting a lie? Why are you not ashamed to speak a lie, but you blush to speak of Jesus Christ? Why are you not ashamed to tell everybody you believe in Santa? Why are you not ashamed to put Santa on your t-shirt and Santa in your front yard and Santa in your windows and Santa in your living room and Santa in your workplace? And yet you claim to be a Christian, and if somebody asks you to speak up for Jesus Christ, you crawl in a hole somewhere. How is it that you're proud to promote what you know to be a lie, and you're ashamed and embarrassed to promote what you claim to be the truth? Now, how do you expect me to not speak against that? Why, if I didn't speak against that, I'd be just like the rest of these sorry, compromising, hireling preachers that love money more than they love the truth, the Word of God. Amen. I know what happens you preach this. You lose money.
That's
exactly what happens. The reason you lose money is because Christian idolaters, that's a strange combination, take their pocketbooks somewhere else because they don't like their little false god and their idol kicked. Santa Claus is a lie. There is no Santa Claus. Now, why that bothers people who claim to be following the truth and who claim to love the truth, honestly, it's a mystery to me. I don't get it. I'll tell you why. You ready? Look, this is not by design of humans. This is by the design of the Antichrist, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. You could not produce by accident or chance a false god who matches Jesus Christ in 37 biblical particulars, unless you were deliberately working to replace Jesus Christ with a lie. You couldn't just by accident create a being that's everything the Bible says Jesus is, unless you knew an awful lot about Jesus and wanted somebody to worship what didn't exist instead of worship the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how it goes. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to show you tonight 37 things the Holy Bible says about your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And every one of these things have been stolen from the Holy Bible and made the characteristics of someone who doesn't exist, And then boys and girls and moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas get excited about the person who doesn't exist, who has all the characteristics of a person who does exist, then why don't you get excited about the real thing?
Amen.
I'll tell you why. Because lost people love a lie. Lost people, Jesus said in John 8:44, you're of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do.
Right.
I'm a child of God. I want to do the will of my Father.
Right.
So I want to walk in the light, not in the darkness. I want to love the truth, not a lie. You say, well, don't spoil their fun. Look, the only reason they think it's fun is because you made it fun.
Right, right.
Why don't you make the truth fun?
Amen.
Kids enjoy doing whatever you pump up, whatever you hype up, whatever you're excited about. That's what the kids are excited about.
Yeah, that's right.
So you can get them excited about Jesus.
Amen.
All right, number one, Revelation 1, Isaiah 9. Revelation 1, Isaiah 9, and John 1. Revelation 1, Isaiah 9, John 1. You could just listen, but it'd be better if you looked at the verses, then you'd know I wasn't just making this up. I mean, I might be making up Jesus to counter Santa Claus. Revelation 1, verse 8. Jesus says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Isaiah 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government should be upon his shoulder. His name should be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. John chapter 1, and verse number 1 says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ claims eternal existence for himself. The Bible calls him the Everlasting Father. The Scripture declares he was in the beginning. He had no beginning, no birthday, no origin, nor will there ever be a day when he shall cease to exist. Every true Christian knows and believes these truths. Let me ask you something. According to the mythology, when was Santa born? Or has he always been there? When will Santa ever die or cease to exist? Why, that's unthinkable. The kiddies believe there's always been a Santa Claus. Mom and Dad make sure they believe there always will be a Santa Claus. So we see this creature of fiction has taken to himself one of the outstanding attributes of the true and living God, his eternal existence. I have one without beginning and without end. I have one who lives outside the bounds of time. He's not a fraud in a costume. Sitting down on a chair at a mall. He's the true, real, living God.
Amen.
Number two, Hebrews 12 and Psalm 48. Hebrews chapter 12 and Psalm number 48. Did you know that the Bible gives us the location of the holy city where Almighty God resides? Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12. And Psalm number 48. Hebrews 12 and Psalm 48. The Bible says, Hebrews 12, 22, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. So there's Jerusalem on earth, but there is a Jerusalem in heaven. It's the heavenly Jerusalem. Where is that found? Psalm 48 verse 1. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. How many of you believe one day you're going to get caught up to meet the Lord, be taken to be with him forever? Well, where are you going to go? Psalm 75. Psalm 75 says this. Psalm 75 verse 6. For promotion. Pro, that's upward, motion. Your upward motion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. Then where's it come from? It comes from the north. Where's the city where God dwells? It's in the north. So if you wanted to find the dwelling place of the Lord Jesus Christ, you would have to travel due north to get to the heavenly Mount Zion. So when the advertisers get together and decide on a holiday figure for everyone to love and to worship, guess where they make his home? Not the equator, not Antarctica, not the bottom of the ocean, but in the north. You know why? He is a substitute for Jesus Christ. I don't want a substitute. I want the real thing. I don't want a cheap imitation. I want the real thing. Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter 4. You say, Brother James, why don't other preachers preach this? Why don't other churches teach this? We've already looked at more verses than the average Christian got this morning when they went to church. They're not interested in the Bible. They're interested in playing religion. And whether it's Baal worship or Jesus worship, it doesn't matter as long as you have a religious experience. We want truth. Religion can't feed our soul. We want truth. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4 verse 13 says this. Neither, speaking of God, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Jesus Christ is all-knowing. He knows everyone. He sees everyone. He knows what each person is doing at all times. The Bible says in Psalm 33 and 2 Chronicles 16, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, beholding the sons of men. And yet, He has some competition. There's someone, our children are told, who sees them when they're sleeping. There's someone, our children are told, who knows when they're awake. There is someone, our children is told, who is watching them. Ask any boy or girl in a department store during December who sees them all the time. 100% of them will say Santa. Ask the parents if they are Christians, and most will say they are. So how come their children believe a lie about a lie instead of believe the truth about the truth if their parents claim to be Christians? Well, Jones told me last night down there at that parade, and some little kid was running out in the street, and his mom said, "You get back here," and the kid kept running, and the mom said, "Santa's watching." You liar.
Right.
You're a liar.
Right.
Santa wasn't watching her.
Amen.
God was watching
Amen.
Her. Jesus Christ was watching her.
Amen.
Why would you teach your children truth about a lie when you can teach them truth about truth? You want to know why? I'll tell you why. Because had she said Santa's watching you at any other point along that 2-mile parade route, everyone would have found that acceptable. She just happened to say it in the wrong place. Had she said Jesus is watching you, people would have looked at her with scorn, with ridicule, with contempt. They would have sneered at her. They would have said, "How dare you?" And so, because she loves the praise of men more than the praise of God, she'll lie to her child. Following the lust, look, the lusts are following. You know why she lied? Because she lusts after social acceptance. She loves after, lusts for fitting in with the world. And so she'll lie to her child, teach her child to be a liar, then correct her child one day when her child lies to her. What a hypocrite. You lied to me. I told you not to go to that party, and you said you wouldn't. You lied to me. Well, just look your mom in the eye. So you told me there was a Santa Claus, so we're even. I'm not recommending that. I'm just saying, if how come lies are bad when your kids tell them, but they're not bad when you tell them to your kids? Just tell the truth. You have truth? You have a Savior? You have somebody for your children to be excited about? Well, tell them about Him. Why tell them about somebody that doesn't exist? All right, number 4, Revelation 20. Revelation 20, not only does he see everything, that's the Lord. Revelation 20 says this in verse number 12. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Now, if Santa knows if you've been bad or good, how does he know? Well, he's making a list and checking it twice. You mean he's keeping records? Oh, did I confuse you? See, that well-known ditty about Santa happens to be Bible truth about the Son of God. He's drawn a line between good and bad, between right and wrong, between clean and unclean, and he's keeping records of who does good and who does bad. He's going to judge and reward accordingly. That's Jesus, not Santa.
Right, right.
Jesus, not Santa. Now, here's how I know Santa. Here's when I first caught on Santa was a fraud. The Santa Claus mythology says if you're not good, you don't get anything.
Yeah.
I was never good and I always got something. That doesn't make you fear God. That doesn't make you fear judgment.
Yeah.
Why, look, if you're always bad and you get good stuff, then how am I going to preach the gospel to you when you're 17?
Yeah.
You know, if you don't repent and trust the Lord, the Lord's going to judge you, the Lord's going to punish you. Man, that teenager was conditioned from a child up not to believe that. It's vain threats, it's empty words. You're going to get something anyway. Number five, 2 Timothy chapter 4. You look at my mom defend me and say, I wasn't bad all the time, but she won't. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I wasn't bad all the time. I was bad habitually, but I wasn't. There were moments when I wasn't. Got to sleep sometime. 2 Timothy 4, verse number 7. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. That love His appearing. So be good for goodness sake. Listen, Jesus Christ, express image of the goodness of God. Those who are good, they don't hope for gaining reward. They're good because they love the Lord. Desire to please Him. Desire to be like Him. Be given gifts at His hand. Hey, one day, Jesus Christ is coming again. I'm looking forward with joy and anticipation to Him coming and to Him giving me gifts when He comes. Now, who made up this fellow that I'm supposed to be looking forward to His coming, waiting for His coming, excited about His coming, and living a good life so when He comes He'll bring me gifts? Somebody has tried to replace Jesus Christ. Somebody has taken Bible truth and applied it, not to the Lord of glory, but to a myth, a fairy tale, a lie. Can't be by accident. It can't be by chance. He lives in the north. He sees me. He knows what I'm doing. He keeps records. He's coming back. He wants me to be excited about His coming. He wants me to be looking forward to His coming. So I'll live in such a way as to get a reward from Him when He comes. That's Jesus. You're not fooling me. Man, every preacher in America ought to be preaching this. Say, why don't they? They're getting a bonus next week. Say, why don't they? They're going to hang little dollar bills with clothespins on a tree in the lobby. I know why they don't preach this. Amen. Man, I worked a convenience store when I started preaching. I'd work in one again. I worked a graveyard shift from 11 to 7, read and studied my Bible, and went home and preached the Word of God. I'd do it again before I'd sell out the truth of the Bible to get money. Amen. Jesus Christ sees you. Jesus Christ is keeping records. Jesus Christ is coming again. You ought to be excited about Jesus Christ coming.
Amen.
Put some fraud at the end of every one of those parades sitting up there. Say, why they put him last in the parade? So you just be excited. Oh, he's coming. He's coming. He's coming. There's the band. Never mind the band. I don't want to see the band. He's coming. He's coming. There's the dancing girls. Never mind well, except that one. She's kind of cute. We're fanatics. We're crazy. Somebody said those people shouldn't be allowed in our parade. How about 13, 14-year-old girls out there in underpants dance around in front of a bunch of sick perverts drinking beer? How about that? This country's crazy, man. I'm not crazy. They're crazy. You got lists this long of child predators in every neighborhood in your town, and you want to march your daughter dancing half naked down the street of town with those fellas sitting there in their lawn chairs drinking their six packs? You think I'm crazy? You're crazy. You're crazy out of your mind. Well, she could get a, one day she could be in the dance team. Yeah, one day she could be in the back of somebody's truck, too. This world's messed up, man. How come I'm the only one seems to know that? Santa's a counterfeit.
Right, right.
Counterfeit Christ wants you, counterfeit of Christ, the Lord wants you to be good. Why? Because Santa's holy? No. But he's a righteous religious influence. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 to 15. Satan's ministers transformed to ministers of righteousness. Santa says, be good, be good, be good, but not for God's sake. Be good for goodness sake.
Yeah.
That's just for its own sake. There's no real Lord up there. We just kind of want you to be good. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean, be good? If you don't have a book, you don't have a Bible, you don't have the Word of God, everybody just makes up their own good. That's why they like him. Good by their own definition of good. Not good by an absolute standard in writing in your lap. Psalm 139, Psalm 33. The old song says he sees you when you're sleeping and he knows when you're awake. It's a little creepy. Psalm 139 and Psalm 33. Now, I don't want to get into the whole moral integrity of Santa Claus, but personally I think he's an adulterer. If you saw mommy kissing Santa Claus under the mistletoe, Daddy ought to get a shotgun, run him out of the house. That wasn't Santa, that was Tiger Woods. So, while we're kicking false gods, we may as well give that one a boot. Psalm 139, verse 12, speaking of God, yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Psalm 33, 13, the Lord looketh from heaven, he beholdeth all the sons of man. Hey, there is somebody that can see through the dark. There is somebody that knows what goes on in the nighttime. There is somebody. You can't hide from him. You can't escape from him. You can't sneak around and go undetected. He does see you when you're sleeping. He does know when you're awake.
Amen. Amen.
But it's Jesus Christ.
Right.
Jesus Christ. You know, if there's a real God to whom you're accountable and he does see everything you're doing, that's a strong motivation to be holy, just, pure, clean, righteous. But if you grow up and you're taught that the one who sees you and watches you and knows what you're doing doesn't exist, now what's going to keep you in check? Now what's going to make you do right when mom's not around and dad's not around and teacher's not looking and police aren't on patrol? Nothing.
Right.
If we can put the fear of a real God who watches and a real God who calls into account into our children, now we've got a strong motivation for them to do right all the time. God is seeing. God is watching. Philippians 4 says this in verse number 6. Be careful for nothing. Let me just read some of these to you. We got to hurry. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. That's Matthew 7, 7. Jesus not only desires that people pray to him, but he also answers their prayers and gives them the good things they seek. While most of us know far too little about the life of prayer, we are certain we have an advocate with the Father, that the resurrected Jesus serves as our great high priest, that he ever lives to make intercession for us. What wonderful truth that we can take every need and every petition to our God. Then why would I teach my children to make petitions and requests and say prayers and send letters and offer up their hopes and desires to a fraud, to a lie? Teach him to pray to a real God.
Amen.
Teach him pray to a true God.
Amen.
Don't say, I got in trouble a lot when I was out there working for a living, back when I had to work for a living. I got in a lot of trouble. But at Christmas time one year, my supervisor caught me. See, these kids put letters to Santa Claus in the mail. And I was stamping them, return to sender, deceased. And putting them back in the mailboxes. And somebody called in and reported me. I said to my supervisor, I said, okay, let me get this straight. Do you want me to go out there and tell them there is a real Santa Claus who is alive and we delivered their letters to Santa Claus? And the guy said, yes. I said, man, what a... Hey, you know why he said that? M-O-N-E-Y. It's public relations. It promotes good community relations. Well, why don't we go out there and tell them about Jesus?
Amen.
Same truth, same principles, same facts, only he's real. I'll tell you why. Bad public relations hurts the money, makes heathen angry. Why? They're of their father the devil, and the lusts of their father they will do. I'm not going along with it.
Amen.
I'm not going along with it. If we have 5,000 people here a year from now, praise God. If we got 5 here a year from now, well, we'll try our best to praise God anyway. But the course of this world flowing toward hell is not something we're going to sail our ship in. Just how it goes. Luke 18:16. Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Mark 9:36-37. And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me. There are few images more beautiful than that of God manifest in the flesh, sitting on a boulder, on some crude chair, holding wide-eyed, adoring children in his arms. So many of artists have tried a hand at painting that scene, all catch the idea. Isn't that an amazing thing? Children sitting in the lap of Jesus Christ. Now, why would you take that magnificent scene and transfer it away from the Lord of glory who came to save little children and their moms and their dads and their grandparents and teach them to sit with adoring faces looking up into the eyes of an unemployed, middle-aged, overweight chain smoker dressed in a costume? Why would you do that? Why would you take that place away from Jesus Christ and give it to a lie?
Amen.
It's amazing. Look, I'm just telling you, you can't have this exact a replica of the Lord of glory in something false unless there is a very powerful force behind it trying to steal the love and affection that belongs to Jesus Christ and take it away from Jesus Christ. There's no other explanation for it. It is the work of the devil.
Amen.
So you're making me feel bad because we taught our children. We all taught our children things. We've all done things we shouldn't have done. We've all made mistakes in our life. We've all got more light now than we had day before. Listen, once you find out something's true, don't cling to the lie. Drop the lie and teach the truth.
Amen.
Exodus 20:3 says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Colossians 1:16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Revelation 4:11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things. For thy pleasure they are and were created. I believe God has power over all creation.
Amen.
He not only created the animals, but he can do them with special powers and suits his purposes. He once made a donkey talk. He once guided the actions of a specially prepared whale fish in order to deal with the disobedient Jonah. He once tamed an unbroken ass that he might ride it in Jerusalem. Well, that's nothing special, some child would say. Santa can make reindeer fly. He obviously has the power to impart supernatural powers to brute beasts. Not only that, you can go to every zoo in the world and you'll never find among all God's creatures what Santa's come up with. A reindeer with a glowing nose. Who said, well, you know, Santa makes a reindeer fly. Really? Santa endues him with supernatural powers. Really? I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I believe God does. I believe Jesus Christ does. I believe he made them, controls them. He can use them how he wants. He can make them do things you don't think they can do. I believe that.
Amen.
Now am I going to take that honor and glory and give it to another?
Right.
Here's a little experiment. Try in your hometown. Go down to any church on Sunday at 12.05 p.m. mill about the parking lot. Sing a line or two of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. See if you can find anybody coming out of that church that doesn't know the rest of that song. Then try and find one among that crowd of professing Christians who can finish the lyrics to Down at the Cross or Nothing But the Blood.
Yeah.
Hey, what's wrong with a nation of people that claims to be Christian? They all know Jingle Bells. They all know Santa Claus is coming to town. They all know Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And they don't know one single hymn from start to finish. You think that's the work of God? I think it's the work of the devil.
Amen.
Think that's a sign we're just having a happy time and a celebration at the end of the year. It's the most wonderful time of the year. I think it's proof positive we're a bunch of heathen.
Right. Amen.
God denying, God rejecting, Bible hating, professing Christians.
Amen.
I don't like this. You should have been here this morning, man. I was tender. I was weeping. I was extolling the glory and virtues of God's grace. Tonight we're extolling the glory and virtue of God's truth.
Amen.
Defending the honor and the integrity of our Savior.
Amen.
Amen. All right, Job 38:4. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. The Lord Jesus Christ, not bound by the limits of time. He is the Alpha, the Omega. The measures of time which mark the limits of men's lives and actions are not needed by him. And so Santa Claus is not bound by time. He's able to visit millions of homes all over the earth in a matter of but a few hours. This would be impossible were he not able to operate outside the boundaries of time as we know it. Isn't that amazing? Why, he couldn't hit every rooftop, go down every chimney, leave toys under every tree in one town.
Right.
In the time allotted. Somehow he must. Jesus said, don't touch me. I'm not yet ascended to my Father. He goes to the right hand of the Father in third heaven and back to this earth in with a matter of 3 hours and then let people embrace him, hug him, worship him. You know what he did? He stepped outside the bounds of time, came back. That's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's not Santa Claus.
Right.
That's not Santa Claus. I don't believe I have no belief whatsoever in a man that can drink 10 billion gallons of milk and eat 400 tons of cookies and never have to take a restroom break. I don't believe in him. I don't believe in him.
Amen.
He might get down those first few chimneys, but after eating all that junk, he ain't getting back up them. I don't believe that. There's just too much about this story doesn't add up. John 9:38. See, the thing makes it so difficult for me to live in this world, I think. It's very hard to get through this world of people who don't think. And they don't want to think. Don't trouble me with facts. Don't make me turn on my brain. I've compressed it into an oval shape. Flat screen. He said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him, John 9:38. It's certain those who've been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ delight to worship him. It's also certain that pagans who do not know the Lord worship other gods. There are those who will vehemently deny that Satan is worshipped. Try this little test. Go down to the mall. Find the men and women who are encouraging their children to get in line to go and pray to Santa. Stand beside that line and say he's a fake, he's a fraud, he's not real, there's no Santa Claus, just a man in a suit deceiving you. You'll be cursed, shouted down, police called. Some of them would shoot and kill you if they weren't afraid of going to jail. Don't tell me they don't worship him. They'll defend him. Christians will hear Jesus Christ cursed and not say a word. Moms and dads will hear you say something bad about Santa and they will get in your face. It's true. Normally, rational mothers will race to cover their children's ears and cry out, "Don't listen to that crazy man!" Grandmothers will hold the little ones close and console them as they wrestle with the attack made upon their faith by this unbeliever. A good number of these people are churchgoers who claim to be Christians. Yet, when the mall security guards race in to escort you from the sanctuary, they will say, "A curse in the name of Jesus Christ. Tell you to shut up and get out of there." Nobody be offended. American Christians will protect their children from anyone and anything that might shake their faith in Santa. But they'll show them movies, TV, games, friends, entertainment, churches, all kinds of things that'll shake their faith in Jesus Christ. You know what they are? They're religious fanatics. They're zealous devotees of a god. Just a false god. John 21:25, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Amen. Psalm 135:3, "Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant. No one but the Lord knows how many songs, books, pamphlets, and poems have been written to spread the good news about Jesus. Writers have tried with all their ability to tell the old story in some new way. Tracts numbering into the billions have been penned, written, given to people all over the world. Hymns, spiritual songs, simple choruses beyond counting have been composed to express particular aspects of the person and work of the Lord Jesus. Believers want to use every means at their disposal, every gift and talent given them by God, to make Christ known to the world. Same can be said of the followers of old Saint Nick. Every year come new songs, new recordings, more television programs and movies extolling his virtues. Beautifully illustrated books for children, craft ideas for mother, greeting cards by the millions. All are used by Santa's disciples to proclaim to one and all, 'I am a believer in Santa Claus.'" What are they doing? They are taking their God-given faith, their God-given desire to worship, their God-given devotion to a Lord, and placing it in a false, non-existent substitute for Jesus Christ that is socially acceptable. Because they don't want to do the same thing for the true and living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, because somebody would make fun of them. If there's some other way to put it, you let me know. But that's it. That's the fact of the matter. That's the absolute fact of the matter. All right, that's 12. That's 12 out of 37. Here we go. John 12:12, "On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees, went forth to meet him, and cried, 'Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord.' Jesus is reverenced, respected by all those who know him. When he came to town, men closed their shops, women left their homes, children lined the streets hoping for a glimpse of him. They brought their sick and diseased in great throngs, hoping they might touch him or he them. Then finally, who can describe the adoring crowd that lined the road the day he rode what has been in on what had been called his triumphal entry into Jerusalem? Eyes were peeled, necks extended, multitudes pressed together, standing on tiptoes, shouting, cheering, waving, laughing, hearts beating high with joy and delight. The long-awaited Messiah had come to town. It was like a parade. I wonder what that scene might have been like. You can relive the emotion and wonder of such a time as this every December. All across America, people line the main street of town in great mobs. Bands will play. People parade before them. Merchants will build floats. Families will pack lunches. Children will come with their hearts overflowing in joyous anticipation. And oh, how they'll cheer and wave and shout for gladness when Santa rides into town. He's a usurper. He has taken the rightful place of Jesus Christ in the hearts of our children. Romans 5:12, "Wherefore as one by one man sin entered the world, death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." I have a library that's unlike most people's library. I have Santa Claus literature dating back several hundred years. He's still around, going strong. Cheeks bright and rosy as ever. His eyes haven't lost their sparkle. And though he's put on quite a few pounds since the late 1880s, we all know he's in perfect health. Since the wages of sin is death, this can only mean one thing. Satan's master delusion claims to be every bit as sinless as Jesus Christ. If he doesn't die, if he doesn't get old, if he doesn't get sick, if he doesn't wear out, there's no sin in him. There's only one without sin. There's only one upon whom death has no hold. It's not Santa Claus. It's not Saint Nicholas. Now, before somebody objects, let me ask you something. Have you ever read about Santa killing somebody? Is he a thief, a drunkard, a wife beater? Nobody even thinks such a thing. Nobody in your town but me thinks Santa Claus could do anything wrong. He is universally accepted as without sin. He does no wrong. He does no evil. Therefore, he doesn't get old and he doesn't die. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. If I am a preacher of Jesus Christ, if I am a voice for Jesus Christ, then I have to speak against someone who would seek to ascend to heaven and take the throne of God. John 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be unto you." What about all those houses that have no chimneys? How's he get in? Locked doors, dead bolts, security alarms, fences, gates, pistol under the pillow, pistol on the nightstand. How's he get in and out? Undetected. You know something? If I went to an elementary school tomorrow and I said, you know something? Jesus Christ can walk through walls. In his resurrected body, he walked into a locked room without opening a door, without disrupting a single board, without chipping one flake of paint. He walked in, walked out, because he's more powerful than the physical world. He has supernatural powers. The teacher called the principal. They'd run me out of the school. They'd send a letter to all the parents to head off the lawsuit that they were going to get for somebody coming in and saying such a thing and upsetting the little children. And then they'll teach them about somebody who doesn't exist, who can and does do the very same thing. You know what the Bible says in Romans 1? The reason God gives a nation over to homosexuals, murderers, liars, and thieves is because they hold the truth in unrighteousness. Right. It's not that they don't have the truth. They have the truth. Amen. They just took that truth and put Santa's name on it. Yeah. So they wouldn't have to worship the true and living God. You read Romans 1. The nation you've got it because people don't want Jesus.
Right.
Well, they don't know anything about him. Yeah, they do. They just, what they know about Jesus, they put Santa's name on it. Everything about him is the truth about Jesus. They think Santa Claus has a glorious body, can go through walls. Number 16, Luke 24, and their eyes were open and they knew him and he vanished out of their sight. Jesus, after his resurrection, appeared and disappeared at will. The Santa Claus mythology attributes the same ability to Rudolph's boss. He put his nose, finger to his nose, or his nose to his finger, however the thing goes, and what'd he do? He vanished out of their sight. Why? I know who does that. For real. It's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
How come people know that about Santa, but they don't know that about Jesus? I'll tell you why. His preachers are bolder than God's preachers. His witnesses are more faithful than God's witnesses. He's got more money than God's people got. He owns the TV networks, the magazines, and the newspapers. And the church-going people spend more time with that junk than they do the Holy Bible. So his message gets out and ours doesn't. Acts 1:9. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Acts 1:9. We have a number of passages in the Bible which indicate the resurrection body of the Lord is capable of flight. While no one is certain whether or not Santa uses a slave for convenience or out of necessity, one thing's certain, he has no problem flying. That's the Lord. That's your Lord. Matthew 26:29. But I say unto you, I will not henceforth eat this fruit of the vine till that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Now, whether the Lord ate during the 40 days on earth between resurrection and ascension, people argue about that, but we see him at meals, preparing meals. Seems he will not eat or drink again till the establishment of the kingdom. Nevertheless, his problem to eat again shows that in his deathless, vanishing, flying body, he can enjoy eating and drinking. How about that? And as we mentioned, Santa's immortal body can consume cookies by the tens of thousands and milk by the tanker truck and keep on wending his way across the globe. Somebody knows an awful lot about Jesus Christ and knows that if you knew about somebody like that and got excited about him, your children would fall in love with him. And whoever that is wanted to take all that truth and put it on somebody who doesn't exist so your children would worship nothing instead of the Lord.
Right.
How about that? It's absolutely true. 1 Peter 2:21, for even hereunto we called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. The Lord Jesus Christ has ministers who represent him on this earth. While he is never actually seen, for he's seated in glory in the north, those who do his will are seen everywhere. They do his bidding. They seek to convince others of his reality. They take prayer requests and present them to the Lord. The same is true of Saint Nick. He only leaves the North Pole in his annual advent, but he has tens of thousands of ambassadors who represent him. These agents have gone into all the world to preach the good news of their Lord and Master who lives in the North. You know something? If my real Savior has told me to be his witness, I sure don't want to stand before him having been a witness to a false God and not having been a witness to a true Savior.
Amen.
You say, well, you know, you go out there every year and give out all those tracts, those parades, and what good does it do? I'll tell you what good it does. It lets God know if people can organize a parade to promote a lie, God's people can go to that parade and promote the truth.
Amen.
We're at least as dedicated to our God as they are to theirs.
Amen.
If it doesn't do anything else, it does that.
Amen.
Lord, if they're not ashamed of nothing, we're not ashamed of you.
Amen.
They're not ashamed of a lie, we're not ashamed of the truth.
Amen.
Praise God. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, be transformed by renewing your mind. Ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The love these ministers have for Santa, the Santa they represent, is so great that it alters their dress and their conduct. No department store Santa would dare show up to hear children's prayers dressed in a pair of jeans and a t-shirt. That would misrepresent Santa. These representatives of the unseen God make certain they dress and act in a manner consistent with his testimony. They may drink beer, but they wouldn't be caught dead with a beer can in their hand while wearing a Santa suit. They may smoke Marlboros, but they'll sneak out behind the mall and pull off their beard and their hat because they don't want to harm the testimony of Santa by being seen doing something inconsistent with Santa's reputation. Well, how come the witnesses of Jesus Christ don't want to dress like a Christian and act like a Christian and conduct themselves like a Christian so that people don't get the wrong idea about Jesus Christ?
Right.
How about that? Some of you are running out of steam. It's a little more Jesus and a little too much Santa kicking than you'd planned on. Hey, let me ask you something. That Santa Claus mall don't show up wearing anything he wants to wear. That mall Santa Claus doesn't show up cussing and swearing and carrying on. That Santa Claus mall conducts himself properly, consistent with the testimony and reputation of Santa Claus. How about Jesus' witnesses? What do you mean it doesn't matter what you wear? What do you mean it doesn't matter what you do? What do you mean it doesn't matter how you talk? Santa's witnesses are concerned about how they conduct themselves. We ought to be concerned with how we conduct ourselves.
Amen.
At least as much as they are. How about that? Mark 16:15, he said to them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Santa's ministers will stand on a public street corner in a Santa suit and hand out candy canes. Many of Jesus' ministers will not stand on a public street corner and hand out gospel tracts. Santa's ministers will visit hospitals, nursing homes, shopping malls, and housing projects to give out presents. Many of Jesus' ministers will not visit hospitals, nursing homes, shopping malls, and housing projects to give out the gospel. Do you wonder why more people believe in Santa than believe in Jesus? Maybe it's because his witnesses are more faithful than God's witnesses. Maybe it's his witnesses are more dedicated than God's witnesses. They're at it. They're at it.
Right.
Hey, you know what Santa's crowd won't do? Santa's crowd won't help you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what Jesus' crowd will do?
Yeah.
They'll help preach the gospel of Santa. Our crowd's compromised. His crowd isn't. They don't blur the line. They're not trying to get along with us. Every time they have a Christmas thing, they sit down and figure out a way to keep the Christians away from it. While the Christians are figuring out how to have a Santa party so they get more kids on Sunday.
Preach.
One of my more infamous moments. We were riding through town, this is in Edgewater, Florida, years ago. And as we rode by, it doesn't matter what church it was, so I won't tell you the name of it. As we rode by this church, that the sign out front said, Christmas party. And we saw a man getting out of the car in a Santa Claus suit, with a bag of stuff over his shoulder. I guess it was toys. I doubt it was Bibles and tracts and witnessing materials. And he was heading into that church. I said to Alfred, I said, "Let's go, man." And so he pulled in there as fast as he could. Just cut across the traffic, went in the parking lot, jumped out of the car, said, "Stop, stop, stop, wait." And he did. And we ran over. And one of us, I don't remember which one of us started talking first. We said, "Please, please don't. Now this is, you know, 25 years ago when you did something like that, people didn't think you were going to mug them. He said, "Don't what?" And "Don't go in there and lie to those children." He said, "I'm the pastor of this church and I'm telling you, get off our property."
Wow.
We said, "Listen, you're the pastor of the church. Your responsibility is to tell the truth, not to tell a lie." He said, "You don't get off this property, I'm going to call the police." Now let me ask you something. How many Santa Claus parties at a nightclub, bar, disco, or booze joint invite a preacher in on December 25th to preach the gospel? Why would churches invite Santa Claus in to promote a lie? Isn't it a strange thing? They're more faithful to what isn't true than God's people are to what is true. You think I'm a fanatic? I'm not a fanatic. I'm normal.
Right.
I just look fanatic because the rest of our crowd's so compromised.
Right. Right. Right.
Yep. I'm ordinary. Deuteronomy 6, "These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt write them on the posts of thy house and on thy gates." Devout Christians will decorate their homes in such a way as to testify of their faith in Jesus Christ and to declare their hope of His soon return. They will wear clothing that bears some gospel message. They will place scripture messages on their automobiles and thereby witness to thousands of persons they will never contact face to face. In like manner, the disciples of Santa adorn their homes with numerous items identifying themselves as one of the faithful. They will put his likeness on their clothing and hang his image from the rearview mirror of their cars. We're not fanatical to identify our homes as Christian. We're not fanatics to identify our vehicles as Christian. We're not fanatics to identify our bodies as belonging to Jesus Christ. If they can do it for what they believe, we can do it for what we believe.
Amen.
And well, we should.
That's right.
John 7:34, "Ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither you cannot come." The Lord Jesus has gone to the sides of the north to dwell in His Father's house. We know that is where He resides, but no one knows of a certainty where that residence is, and so no one can follow Him there. They must wait for His return. Again, we see how perfectly Satan has duplicated biblical truth and applied it to one of his master lies. While everyone knows that Santa lives in the north, no one can actually travel there on his own and locate his dwelling. Those who believe in Him must wait for His return. I don't think these things are accident. I don't think they're coincidence. I think somebody who knew the Word of God came up with a substitute for Jesus Christ that's everything the Bible says Jesus is, so you could, number one, get a taste of Bible Christianity while trusting a false God who isn't true, so that as soon as you found out that false God wasn't true, you would be willing to doubt everything you heard about Him, making it very, very difficult for a real Christian to win you to Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 4:8, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing." The Lord's coming is anticipated with joy by believers. Not only do they know He's coming, but they're excited about it. The coming of Santa is also anticipated with great joy by His followers. I know some professing Christians who are not looking forward to Christ's return. In fact, many who claim His name either don't believe in or are not sure that there will be a second coming of Christ. But all Santa's disciples are in agreement. He will come again. And they look with joy and great excitement for that day and that hour. A college professor mocks and ridicules one of his students who dares to speak up and state his belief in the Lord Jesus and his certain hope that Christ will come again. This same PhD, piled higher and deeper, will sit down with his children on Christmas Eve and watch the college-educated weatherman follow a radar blip from the North Pole and listen to a description of a sleigh coming toward his hometown. He'll do this with a straight face and not think it the least bit peculiar. Remarkable. Remarkable. "Hey, hush that Jesus stuff. I'll flunk you out of this class. There's no place in our college for that. We're educated. We're enlightened." And then go home and sit with your children and watch. Beep, beep, beep.
Yeah, Billy, we're tracking something on the radar tonight. It looks like it's coming from the North Pole. Oh, is that right? Our chief meteorologist, Dan Dimwit. Dan, what do you see on the radar screen? Well, we're not sure, but it looks like it might be a reindeer in a sleigh.
And the college professor sits there like a moron and takes it all in without objection. Why? They love a lie. Now, I'm ordinary. This is a unique church. You don't hear this every day. 1 Thessalonians 5:2, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." Jesus will come so quickly, even those looking for His return will not see Him until they actually meet Him in the air. In like manner, though all His disciples know that Santa is coming on Christmas Eve, He comes so quickly that only a few have ever seen Him, and they were drunk out of their mind.
Yeah, man. He was spinning like, wow.
Jesus coming like a thief in the night. Jesus take the valuables, his own, and leave families broken, the earth impoverished due to the absence of its salt and light. Like a thief, Santa breaks into homes and prowls about. As the Bible declares that Jesus will come as a thief in the night, it is accepted by all the faithful that Santa will sneak into the living room sometime between midnight and daybreak. Why didn't he come in the afternoon? Why didn't he come in at high noon? Why does he come in the night? Because the Bible says Jesus will come like a thief in the night. He's counterfeit. Revelation 1:14. Listen to this. This is Jesus Christ in his resurrection body. John saw the resurrected Christ. Here's what he said. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. Why didn't Santa Claus have blonde hair? Why didn't he have black hair? Why didn't he brunette? Why has he got white hair? I mean white. I don't mean gray. I mean white. Because he's counterfeit for Jesus Christ. That's why. Isaiah 63:2. Jesus said his second coming. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel? And thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat. At his second coming, Jesus' garments are dyed crimson by the blood of his enemies. Why doesn't Santa wear raspberry red or lemon yellow or orange orange? Isn't that amazing? Why does he have white hair and wear red? I got a better question. How come people who've been sitting in church for 40 years don't know that Jesus in his resurrection had white hair and at his second coming wears red?
Right.
How do people go to church 40 years and know more about Santa Claus than they do about Jesus Christ?
Right.
Because people aren't teaching the Bible.
Right. That's right.
They're just playing church and taking up offerings.
Right.
Now it's time for a special holiday offering. Now it's time for a special light the tree offering. Now it's time for a special angels singing for joy offering. Now it's our time for a special get Jesus out of the manger offering. And now it's a...
Why don't you open the Bible once in a while and teach people something they'd want to give? You wouldn't have to drag it out of them. How about that? So why don't you pass an offering plate? Number one, the people that love the Lord give. And number two, this kind of preaching, who's going to pay for it? Wouldn't do any good to ask. Isaiah 50 verse 6, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Santa's changed over the years. His original portrait showed him as quite thin. He's become obese. He once had a rather stern look, but over the years he's become a jolly old soul. His cheeks used to be taut, but now they're plump and rosy. His hair is longer than it used to be. All these reflect changes in societal perceptions and fashion trends. Yet strangely, when the practice of men wearing beards was driven out of Western culture during the Great War and the Second World War, Santa kept his whiskers. He was obligated. His maker requires him to be as much like the Lord Jesus as possible. And Jesus has a beard. America didn't want a thin Santa. They wanted a heavy Santa. So they get one. They didn't want a... Well, how come all these things about Santa Claus changed, but he's still got the beard, he's still got the white hair? I'll tell you why. Your Savior, they plucked his beard out by the roots. That means he had one. His hair, resurrection, white like wool. It's all counterfeit. Revelation 22:12, behold, I come quickly, my reward is with me, to give to every man according as his work shall be. When do kiddies get presents? When Santa comes. How do they get them? He brings them. What determines their rewards? Be good for goodness sake. It should anger a Christian to know that such glorious truths have been taken from Jesus Christ and applied to Santa Claus. Now let me take a little side road here just for a minute. And then we'll take one last hard run at this thing. We're not even going to get into Christ Mass tonight. We're going to skip that Mass altogether this evening. But if you do go out and spend your hard-earned money on gifts for your children, why don't you tell them you bought it so they can love you? Instead of telling them Santa Claus bought it so they can love somebody who didn't pay a dime for that stuff they just opened. If I'm going to buy my kids affection, I'm going to get my kids affection. I don't want somebody else getting it. Oh, wow, this is the best toy ever. Well, thanks, Santa. Santa got it for you. Forget that, man. Thank me. I bought that. Send Santa my credit card bill, if that's the way you want to. All right, 1 Corinthians 3:14. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. One must have faith in Jesus in order to receive rewards from him. Yet the rewards, while earned by good deeds, are freely given. No one ever has to pay for the gifts they get from Santa. Free. Revelation 21:18, 19. And the building of the wall was of jasper. The city was of pure gold, like unto clear glass. All the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. You ever stop to think of the unfathomable wealth possessed by God? Pearl gates, gold streets, mansion city, walls of jasper, owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. There is a Santa Claus. You ever stop to think how rich he must be? Gifts and treasures without number for all the boys and girls in the world come from his storehouse. No one ever thinks they've asked Santa for something beyond his ability to supply. No one would ever suggest Santa can't afford it. He has untold wealth according to his legend. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. Revelation 20:15. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. When you wake up Christmas morning and find your rewards, there will be no higher court of appeals to which you may turn. Whatever Santa decided to give you, that's what you've got. You may not argue with him, and there is no one above him to which you may turn. You get what Santa gave you. That's the white throne judgment. You get what God gives you. There's no higher court of appeals. There's nowhere else to turn. Still with me? Hanging in there? Everybody? Okay. You all right? I saw last night at the parade, right down in Orange City, about halfway between Graves and Ohio, there's a Mosaic Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. If you don't like this, go there, believe anything you want. In fact, the more junk you believe, the happier they'll be to have you. We're about truth.
Amen.
We want truth. I don't want to be lied to. Don't want to be lied to. Funny thing, man, if people get lied to in business, they get angry about it. They get lied to in finance, they get angry about it. They get lied to in politics, they get angry about it. Get lied to on the job, they get angry about it. They go to church, get lied to, and say, good job, Reverend.
That's right.
There's something weird about that. I don't understand that. I think it's called in the Bible strong delusion. That they should believe a lie. I think that's what it's called. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Come on, stay with me. Every man according as he purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. Those who love Santa not only witness for him, but they leave him free will gifts and offerings. One look at Saint Nick would tell you ought to lay off the cookies for a while. But believers think so much of him, they just can't help but give him a little token of their love. Oh, that Christ's disciples felt the same about him. Mm-mm. All right. Let's look at some verses. 1 John 3, 2 Corinthians 11, Ephesians 5. 1 John chapter 3. I went over all this one time with my friend Tommy Baucom. I was up there preaching one year in December, and he said, let's go for a ride. We got in the car and went for a ride. I said, where are we going? He said, you'll see when we get there. We drove this town. In this town, they had a chocolate factory. They made chocolate. And we went in there, it was December, and they had these big chocolate Santa Clauses. I said, "Tommy, what are we doing here?" He said, "We're going to get a bunch of them and melt them." He said, "That'll show him." Old Tommy. 1 John 3, verse number 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." If there is a real, true Jesus Christ, and all these things we've read tonight are true about him, I do not want to stand before him having devoted my life, my energy, used my tongue, my ability to speak to promote a lie when I could have given myself in purity to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just a fact. I got one life. I got time to be devoted to one thing. I'd rather be devoted to a Savior than a fairy tale.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And verse number 2. 2 Corinthians 11, 2. "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." You know what a man, a man wants to know? He wants to know that girl is his and his alone. You know what a girl wants to know? That man is hers and hers alone. I just don't believe the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, wants us sleeping around.
Yeah. Right.
I just don't believe he wants us with Baal one night.
Yeah.
And Molech one night, and Santa Claus one night. I just don't believe that.
Amen.
I believe he wants us all to himself.
Amen.
That's what I believe. Right.
Boy, he's really against Christmas.
No, here's what I'm against. I'm against sharing a wife's love amongst many men. I'm against sharing a husband's love amongst many women. I'm amongst sharing a Christian's devotion amongst many gods.
Yeah, right. Good.
I think you ought to pick one God and give him all you got.
Amen.
Amen.
That's what I believe. Now that makes me a nutcase to my fellow preachers. Okay, now before we read another verse, here's all I want to know. Here's all I want to know. If you believe the Bible, you know that what I've said tonight is true.
Right. Amen.
You know it's true. Now you may not have said it the way I said it, but you know it's true. Now, if you believe the Bible and know this is true, and know that you have a church full of people who are promoting, spreading, and rejoicing in a lie, why would you not tell this truth? And there's only one answer. The love of money.
Right.
That's the only answer. Well, there's plenty to preach on. We don't have to preach on that. You tell me another lie that everybody in that congregation is participating in. And you won't touch it?
Yeah.
Why won't you touch it?
Good.
There's only one reason. I must stand before the Lord one day, not a jury of my peers.
Right.
And the Lord wants me to tell the truth. And if the devil has raised up a great big lie as a counterfeit and a substitute for that truth, I owe it to my Savior to go after it.
Amen.
With both fists, both lungs, both eyes, both ears, both feet, kick it, bite it, punch it.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. We out preaching on the street one night, and my brother-in-law, he wasn't my brother-in-law then, but I had plans. He's witnessed this guy. He's about 18. He had his big old Bible in his arm, and this guy walked up and got in his face. He said, "What do you say to me?" He said, "You must be born again." That fella grabbed him by the shirt, pulled him up. He said, "What'd you say to me?" Charlie said, "You must be born again." That guy said, "What if I knock your teeth out?" And Charlie said, "Then you must be born again." Amen. I don't know what preacher said. He said, "I'm going to fight the devil. I'm going to kick him, punch him, and bite him. And when my teeth fall out, I'll gum him till I die." And I am the avowed enemy of Santa Claus because he is the avowed enemy of Jesus Christ, and he is stealing the love that belongs to Jesus from the hearts of boys and girls. Amen. All right, Ephesians 5. Those that were here a decade ago, the last time we preached the Santa Claus sermon, will not forgive me if I don't sing for you tonight. Me. Up on the housetop, click, 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 bam! Down on the lawn comes old Saint Nick. Teach him to trespass. He ain't kissing mommy either. In fact, I'm not sure he's interested in mommy. San Diego, that's male. San Juan, that's male. San Jose, that's male. Santa Barbara, that's female.
Right.
Santa Claus? I think he might be fruity. I'm just asking. He couldn't be. That's what you said about Rock Hudson. Fooled you. Ephesians 5, verse 31. Elton didn't fool you. Ephesians 5, 31. "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, should be joined unto his wife, and they two should be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as herself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband." You know what the Lord wants? Absolute, total, uncompromised affection on the part of both parties in a relationship. Now we have, and we saw it this morning, we rejoiced in it, we have the absolute, total, uncompromised affection of our God toward us.
Amen.
What's lacking is he's not getting the same measure of love and affection in return. We're not being faithful to him. And so, you're free to do what you want in your own home. You know that. You've been here any length of time. I don't follow you around. I don't have spies. I don't have paparazzi trying to get your picture. It's between you and God. What you do with truth when you leave here, that's between you and God. But when you come here, you're not going to get 50% Jesus and 50% Baal worship. You're not going to get 80% Jesus and 20% lies. We're not going to get 90% Bible and 10% what they're selling at Merlin's Vision. It's going to be Bible. It's going to be truth. If you want to bring some other stuff into your home, that's between you and God. But we're not going to bring it in here.
Amen.
We're not going to bring it in here. Say, "Well, that hurt the attendance." Well, we're pretty crowded as it is. It won't keep people away that want truth.
Right, man. Right, man.
Won't keep people away that want to do right.
"Well, you know, I used to go down there, but you know, they don't even celebrate."
Well, there's a place that does. Moose Lodge, Corner Bar, Merlin's Vision. There's a place for everybody. There just needs to be a place for people who want to do right.
Right. Amen.
By the grace of God, this is going to be it.
Amen.
So, praise the Lord. I love Jesus. I want to live for Him, serve Him, get excited about Him, tell the whole world about Him, and that doesn't leave any time to tell them about somebody that doesn't exist. All right. In closing.
See, we're way past quitting time.
What's that? What is quitting time? Game was tied, we're in overtime. Still got as many for God as we do for Santa. One year, our midweek service fell on the day after Christmas, and I found this stuffed Santa, and I had him laying in the bushes out front with an arrow in his back. He laid over the bushes with an arrow in his back. Kids loved it. Some of their parents freaked out, but the kids thought it was great. And then one year I had this Santa, had boots and hands and a Santa Claus mask, and I stuck them in the flower bed out front and had dirt mounted up and a little tombstone on top of his head. Kids thought it was great. Parents were all offended. So why do you say that? You're worried about what your kids will think. Your kids trust you. They'll fall in love with Jesus if you tell them about Jesus. I'm talking about them little ones. Grown-ups, they make up their own mind. Little ones, they...
Well, if I don't tell my kids about...
They love you. They look up to you. Teach them to love the Lord, they'll be okay with that. So, you know, they're friends. We get a hard time with their friends. Well, the quicker they learn to deal with that, the quicker we're going to have some more good Christians.
Right.
What do you want them to do? Teach them to compromise the truth to get along?
Preach!
We got enough of that.
Amen.
So what do I do now? You know, I taught my kids all this when they were young, and be a big boy, big girl. Tell your kids, you know, sorry. They're in the Santa Claus. They probably figured it out. Probably figured that all out. So, all right. Bible says you have to love me. You're commanded. All right, let's pray. Father, I thank you for a congregation of people who want the truth. I pray you'd bless them. I pray you'd help them to live for you, to live your way. I pray for these boys and girls that you'd help them be excited about Jesus and learn the truths about Jesus and sing the songs about Jesus. And when somebody tells them about a man with a red suit and a white beard that lives forever, knows all that they're doing and is coming again to bring them rewards, I pray they'll know exactly who that is. Jesus Christ. Please, Father, please help us, we pray. In His precious and holy name. Amen.